This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome to the Miami Dolphins Fifth Quarter Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. Miami Dolphins football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network is sponsored by
Ticketmaster, official marketplace of the NFL. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood, South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination. Rubenstein Law, 1-800-FL-LEGAL. Chevron with Techron. Chevron, together ahead. Totino's Pizza Rolls. Take home gating to the next level. It's Totino's or game over.
You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. I am Travis Wingfield, the host of the Drive Time Podcast on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network, and with me I have the hosts of the Fish Tank Podcast on that very same Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. You know who they are, Seth Levitt, OJ McDuffie, and well, Juice, this team sucked us right back in, didn't they?
Oh, man, don't. Man, oh man, Travis, what a roller coaster ride today, bro. You know what I mean? It really is tough, man. And as you know, and as Big Seth knows, man, you know, former player turned super fan, it's tough, man. It's tough to watch a game like that that looks so bad, that looked better, to get back in and have an opportunity and then lose it at the end, man. This team does it to us, man. We're very emotional about our boys, man. And that's why I love – let me start off by saying I love being on – you know, the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network, being on, you know, on the radio right now with this guy, you guys, for the postgame show, because I can actually show my emotions about how I feel about my team, man.
And 100%.
So it's a tough deal, man. And I was really upset with my boys. I'm proud of how they battled, man. And it's a tough loss for all of us right now.
Yeah, you mentioned the emotions. We put a video of us up on Twitter celebrating the touchdown and two-point conversion that got the Dolphins back into the game when it really seemed, I mean, for all intents and purposes, like the game was lost down by 11 points in that fourth quarter. With the offensive production we saw through the first three and a half quarters of the game, it just seemed like Miami wasn't going to be able to come up with enough points to make this a contest late, and they did it. Jacoby Brissett made a couple of plays late there at the end of the game. The Dolphins receiving core, running backs, Mike Gesicki gets going, but Juice, it's hard to win when you can't put together a 60-minute complimentary style of football, because it's like, you know, I always talk about the Chevy Chase scene in Vegas Vacation where he's trying to plug the holes in the dam with the gum. You get one thing solved and then something else springs up. In this game, it was defense strong early, offense strong late, some miscues in between, and you wind up losing 31-28 in overtime.
Yeah, you have to put it all together. You really have to put in some, you know, like you said, complimentary football that Coach Coach Flores talks about, and it really didn't happen, man. We struggled so much offensively early. You know, defense kept us in the game at the beginning of the game, and then it's like, you know, we waited late to try to get going offensively. And we talked about a lot while we were sitting here in the studio. How long do you expect the defense to be able to hold out there? How long do you expect them to be able to, you know, make plays for you? They did a decent job most of the game waiting on offense to try to catch up. Offense tried to catch up a little bit at the end, but at the same time, though, man, and Seth and I don't know if I wouldn't call it an argument, but I said, Seth, they're going to be tired. He said, even after halftime?
After halftime, they should have been tired.
Yeah. I said, man, they're going
to I don't want to hear it.
They could be tired.
Yeah, come overtime, 80-something plays, sure. Absolutely. You guys are taking this a lot better than I am. Like, I kind of want to throw up in the corner right now. You know, this was, in addition to the roller coaster, this was a winnable game. We match up well with this team, started off the way we started, obviously battling back. You know, they bring you – I guess what you said, Travis, they suck you right in. But, man, I'm not taking this as well as you guys are. And I'm not saying you guys don't care, because clearly all of us are –
I don't know. That's what it sounds like to me, Travis.
I'm pissed off, Juice.
That we're high-fiving and stuff.
This was a difficult one to swallow because it was a winnable game. And, you know, you start counting wins and losses.
Yeah.
I know Travis had, 13, 14 wins, whatever, you know, that number is. Still possible. I'm not giving up after three games because I know I said after two games that, you know, we can't panic. And it's certainly not panic, but this is a tough one, man. I am glad that I am not on that charter having to fly 5 hours home.
Yeah, you hope that that doesn't have a lasting effect, too, because Juice was talking about how the defense is on the field for 80 plays there in that game. You basically run out an entire overtime quarter, and you're on the road, so a short week coming back on that long charter flight back home, and then you have to turn around in the South Florida heat on Sunday and face the Indianapolis Colts. And, you know, we kind of were looking at this thing like a little three-game stretch here in the absence of Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, obviously, best case scenario is 3-0, but with the Buccaneers at the end of that, you kind of have to think we'll take a 2-1 mark in those three games, and this was a good chance to get off to an early start with a win. You know, right now in week number three, it doesn't happen that way, despite the late efforts of Jacoby Brissett, the offense there. The defense just can't quite get off the field, and I feel like, Juice, we talked about it last week, same story. I mean, defense has some good production, but at a certain point, the levee breaks, right? I mean, like, the offense has to give them more early in game so they're not so gassed by the end of it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. One thing, too, though, man, let's talk about defense a little bit. Yeah, they've been on the field a lot, but they've had opportunities to make some plays in this game, too.
Absolutely.
That they did not make. You know what I mean? You got to make some of those plays. Yeah, we had the pick six early, but when the game's on the line and you got opportunities to get a stop, you know, third down and long, fourth downs, or whatever it might be, you know, you got to make these up. You got to make these plays, you know, and that's one thing that, you know, I'm shocked that we're not doing is making plays, you know, on the defense side of the ball. Offensively, I mean, I don't know what we were doing at the beginning. You know, so much dink and dunk and dunk and dink, and, you know, all our fast guys are running four-yard routes back to the quarterback. I don't know what the hell that was. You know what I mean? And, you know, we got such a fast team we're talking about, but all we're running is routes that, you know, an old-ass O.J. McDuffie number 81 would run. You know what I mean? A hitch here, a sticks route there, and all these other things. And then when you see him open up at the end, you wonder, why the hell were we doing that from the beginning? You see him Fuller going by guys. You see other guys getting opportunities down the field. You see Gesicki getting down the field. Where the hell is that in the beginning of the game where you can open this up a little bit, stress this defense out a little bit, and it gives you more stuff to work underneath? I'm just I'm a little perplexed by some of the things that were called, the way they were called early.
Especially I was going to be looking to you for the answer to that, Juice.
Yeah,
I thought you could give us some perspective as to why does the game plan change like that. So, but if you're perplexed, great word.
It's a big word like mayonnaise.
Absolutely it is. Where are we supposed to come up with the answers?
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. You think about it. It was exciting to see Fuller back, but then we knew we were getting five tight ends active today, right. So we knew we were going to try to at least run the ball. But we got some tight ends that can run deeper routes. Gesicki showed that towards the end of the game that he can get deep. They were still trying to work him underneath, short, shallow routes. I mean, it's just – it's frustrating. I am pissed off like Seth talked about. You know what I mean? But at the same time, though – I was worse off when we were getting beat by 11 points. You know, to see us battle back, that kind of gave me a little bit more energy and more positivity about the way the team was going, man. But the way it all ends up, it's a tough deal, bro.
Well, look, come tomorrow, again, long-term, big picture, there are concerns. There are absolutely things that still need to be worked on, corrected. I guarantee you we're going to hear that from Coach Flores. I don't think this is doom and gloom the way people felt last week. This team can play football. They can score points. They scored 28 points today. I know they can put points on the board. I know they can move the ball. To Juice's point, we've seen they can't actually stretch the field, you know, when they make the decision to do so. I actually was impressed that the offensive line was able to hold up late in those drives, and because the Raiders had their ears pinned back and they were coming after them. But there were just opportunities that kill you. We had them in fourth and long situations multiple occasions. Excuse me, third and long. Third down defense, again, 8 of 15. That's tough to win like that. This team was known for being one of the best in the league last year with third down defense. Best kicker in the league. You can't miss that field goal at the end of the half. What a great opportunity that would have been. And clearly we see that came back to haunt us. Even though he did do a great job knocking in the 50-yarder at the end there, you need to make those plays. I said it all day after the last game. You can't leave points off the board. You can't.
And not to mention the 2 points on the safety, too, which is where the game really began to turn for my money. I thought 14-0. Sure. We even get, we spring a big hole on a running play. When was the last time you saw a 24-yard rushing touchdown for this Dolphins offense? Malcolm Brown gets a nice hole off the left side and a great block by Austin Jackson, who carries a block 7-8 yards downfield and winds up with a pancake. But really quick, back to your point, Seth, you talk about 8 for 15 on third downs. I was actually pulling that up on my stats here to kind of talk about that, but you nailed the point. At one point, it was 7 for 11. And that came after a first opening four drives where it was 3 and out, pick 6, 3 and out, punt for the Raiders. And then after that, they couldn't get off the field on a third down. So you talk about, you look at Monday, there's going to be some concerns or some things you got to button up and get the corrections made. That's always the case every single week. And this week, probably a little bit more after the first three quarters of this game where your offense, you have plenty you can go back and look at and correct. But they could have gotten away with a W in the win column and then made the corrections. And we talked about it back in week one, how it's always better when you can do that after a victory.
Absolutely.
But the thing that really gets me is we talked about this all week on the Lunch Bunch on Friday on the live Instagram show on Drive Time, just texting with you guys all week long. We talked about this Dolphins team is not going to come back and have another lapse with third down shorted or just third down failures or red zone failures or penalties. They were penalized 8 times for 68 yards today. That's very undolphin like. And Juice talked about it. I think the three or four personal fouls they had only went for like a combined 20 yards because they were gold to go or whatever it might have been. I just think that those small margins were where the Dolphins could have had a chance to win this game.
100%.
And it got away from them.
On the road against a quality football team that's averaging 30 points a game, putting up 400 yards a game. You're in there. House, you traveled across the country to get there. Every little bit matters. Every little field goal, every little stop. They had 8 penalties too. You know, they did better on third downs than we did. I mean, 6 of 18, tough to win that way. Although that 4th and 20 play, and we'll talk about it later today, unbelievable play by Brissett and Gesicki. But you just can't afford. We are not at the point. This Dolphins team is not at the point where you can afford to make those mistakes and still come away with a victory against a quality team like the Raiders.
So OJ talked a little bit about the decision or the general structure and the general design of the offense and kind of guys coming back to the quarterback. I do want to talk more about that. I also want to ask you guys about the decision late in overtime to kick the field goal. Did you think it was the right move? Did you think it was the wrong move? We'll get back into that. We'll hear from Coach Flores and his postgame presser. Real quick, let's go ahead and pause for 10 seconds. So our station can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins.
Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
And Odyssey Station.
So we still have 2 hours with you guys here to break it all down. We'll talk some stats, some film, some breakdowns, who we thought did the best, and of course, hear from Coach Brian Flores. Again, the final score from Las Vegas in overtime, the Raiders 31, Dolphins 28. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. In season or off season, you and your car make a great team. Take care of it with Chevron with Techron for unbeatable cleaning and mileage. It's a winning play. Chevron, together ahead. And we talked about the last segment there, the end of the offensive game for the Miami Dolphins and that final possession in overtime where they had to get at least 3 points to keep it a game, Juice, but they drive close to the edge of the red zone and first down play is an incompletion. Well, I want to talk about that play a little bit. Then we go 7 yards to Devontae Parker to put a 3rd and 3 together, and then from there a shovel pass inside to Mike Gesicki for 1 yard and then a 50-yard field goal from Jason Sanders. Juice, if you're on that team, if you're making the calls, do you want to go and try to win that game, or do you kick the field goal there?
Got to go on the road. You got to go for the win. You got to go find a way to get this win, man. Wow. You know, and I just the play call. Look, I mean, look back in that series. You see the 3rd and 7 call. We run it with Miles, and Miles busts it out there. You know, if we can't get 1 yard or 2 yards from our run game at that point, which at some point in the game we couldn't, but I think at this point we feel like we had some momentum going. You know, I thought we had some momentum going right there. I don't know why we go with a little kind of, I call it a trick play, to Gesicki, who's kind of a long strider, instead of let one of our backs get downhill to give us a better opportunity to convert that third down. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's.
But you think we should have gone for it on 4th down, Juice?
No. Is that what the question was?
Yeah.
No, we don't go for
it. Okay, I thought you said on the road you got to go for it in 4th down and try to close the game.
No, I
can't agree with you on that.
I got to get off that stuff I'll be trying. You know what I mean? No, that's not what I meant right there. I was going back to the sticky play.
I was like, we're about to have another one here, Juice.
Got to kick it, man, to get in.
My argument to go for it would be that the flow of the game was offensive entirely at that point. I mean, it was the teams are trading points for points and touchdowns for touchdowns, and then at the end they're field goals for field goals. I think OJ mentioned, I've never seen a game go 3 consecutive field goals in overtime to end it like that. But I just wonder, you know, if maybe on that 3rd down play you try to get a couple more yards with the run, like you mentioned to Gaskin. And I guess that kind of was the design with Gesicki, right? If that play gets you 2 yards, then 4th and 1, maybe it's different.
4th and 1 is different than 4th and 3.
The distance changed everything.
For sure. It was 4th and 20, I would have said go for it, because Jacoby showed us that that's when he's at his best. But no, all kidding aside, Travis, I have to challenge that, because I just, you know, look, you think Twitter's going nuts today. If we had gone for it, if the Dolphins made the decision to go for it on 4th down there and didn't get it, you would have had, you can't win though sometimes,
Seth, in some
situations. You can't, well.
Unless you win.
You win, right, exactly. You outscore your opponent. But I think that was the right decision to make. I do question the 3rd down call.
Correct. I mean, we have to. But, Seth, you're saying if we do get it within, say, 4th and 1 or less, you go for it?
You can make a decision there. Mm-hmm. I still probably would kick the field goal. Again, I rely on the fact that the strengths of this team, you have, again, an all-pro kicker, and you have a defense that is supposed to be your money makers. You're supposed to win games this year with that defense.
Right. And I'll tell you this, too. I mean, other than that drive in that they had in overtime to get a field goal, before that, our defense was 3 and out, yep. 3 and out.
They were locking them down.
End of the game, you know. So they finally caught their stride. So, I mean, I think you do trust that the defense can go into overtime in that situation and hopefully get you another 3 and out, or at least get you a stop.
100%.
We talk about 4th down conversions for the offense. At one point, they were 0-for-1 in the game, and that continued a streak of 5 consecutive conversions on 4th down that Miami had not converted through the first 2-plus games of the season. But late in that game, 3 4th down conversions to end the game 3-for-4 on 4th down. So the offense kind of found a rhythm there. And I know we kind of joked about it a little bit with, you know, Jacoby making plays off schedule, and when things kind of get sloppy around him. Seth kind of was talking about that plenty with him making the big plays when things weren't going well and the chaos was coming in around him. And that was kind of the story.
That's
when
he was at his best.
Yeah, but what makes him kind of flip that switch? Because early in the game, the offense didn't have it clicking, and he was dealing with a bunch of, you know, trash around his feet and some chaos in the pocket. And like OJ had talked about, the routes kind of coming back to the quarterback, not many opportunities for yards after catch. What really changed there with the offense to where Brissett was able to get things cranking? Because they looked like a different unit late in that 4th quarter.
Well, I think that he had to. I think he had to. You have to get off script at times in those situations, you know. You cannot sit there and, you know, take a sack, or, you know, he had to scramble a lot of times. He had to back up out of the pocket and make some plays. You have to play a little playground football when you're down like that sometimes. And I think he did a great job of it. We also saw him at times, you know, where we, I think as a team and as fans, we get accustomed to, you know, a quarterback being under pressure and taking a sack or losing fumbles. We saw him throw the ball away quite a few times that were really important to save us some yards as well and give us opportunities.
Or pick it up with his legs, right?
Correct. So, I mean, I thought he is a better quarterback at times when he's off script, you know, when he makes plays with his legs. It's not pretty at times. But it's effective.
It definitely ain't pretty.
It was effective tonight, you know what I mean? And give guys an opportunity. At the same time, though, when he does stuff like that, our guys on the other end have to make plays for him. We have some guys have opportunities that did not make them at times.
And let's also, though, Juice, I will say this, and I definitely don't want to come down on Jacoby Brissett, because and we had the whole thing last week in the press conference where I'm not a backup, I'm a starter. On this team, he was chosen to be QB2. That's the way it was. Today he was QB1. He did enough to put them in a position in the end to potentially win the game. But there was that play late in the game, that screen play that he underthrew Miles Gaskin.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, you talked about the mechanics,
the swing play.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about the mechanics a little bit, and he just kind of threw it out there and didn't put enough on it. And I think Miles Gaskin is running all the way back to South Florida if that ball's on the money. So, you know, you have to kind of live and die with that with Jacoby. I think that's what you're going to get with him to some extent. But he does it in a team where you have a young offensive line that's still trying to figure it out. We're shuffling some people in and out. You've got guys that sometimes are getting beat when you're hoping that they won't. You probably need a guy in this moment that can handle that, and he has handled the mess.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you also, though, I mean, the Raiders can say the same thing. They'd be saying the same thing about Carr right now because he missed a couple shots down the field late in that game, but they got the win, so they're not going to talk about those situations or missed opportunities.
They're not going to talk about that PI in the end zone that they should have on Fuller.
That's
either.
Something I didn't want to get into. Yeah. We kind of glossed over it there on that final drive because one of the other things we were talking about was, and, you know, I told OJ this, and I think I'm pretty sure you'd agree with me, that I don't care for the flags on some of those, you know, his foot's on the white line, they bring him down, throw a flag 15 yards. Like, I'm good without that. But if you're going to call it on one team, I'd like to see it called on both teams because Mike Gesicki was pulled down late out of bounds. Jacoby Brissett was hit out of bounds one time as well. But just the way the game was officiated, it bothered me in that sense a little bit. Just be consistent with it. But, man, the game against Las Vegas last year, Byron Jones got hit for a DPI that was
a tiny little pull in the back of the jersey.
The one on Will Fuller was worse.
Right.
It was worse.
And a game
I thought it was egregious.
Yeah, exactly right. And it changes the outcome of a game. We're first and goal of the one right there.
Yeah.
Go for the win, you know? So how do you not? How do you swallow that flag at that point, Seth?
I don't understand it. I mean, he was the first great ball. Unbelievable ball. I think let's talk about Will Fuller for a second. You know, he was brought in here to stretch the field, right, and to test the defense. I thought he played a heck of a game for his first ball that we've seen of him really all year, and that was that moment. That was that moment where you either win the game there or you draw the flag. He should have drawn the flag. I don't like to be the guy that complains about the refs. They didn't lose it because of the refs, but that to me was a missed call in that moment. I can't guarantee that this team is going to punch it in from the 1 yard line. I don't know if they will or won't. Still might be kicking a field goal at that point, but they should have had the ball first and goal from the one.
He winds up with three catches on six targets for 20 yards. That was it would have been a 40-yard either pass interference or reception for the touchdown for the win if he makes it. But, you know, the numbers from this game, they're so strange. You know, we finally saw Mike Gesicki get going a little bit there. He has 10 catches on 12 targets for 86 yards. But Jalen Waddle's usage or his production was very strange in this game, Juice. 12 catches on 13 targets, so he catches everything you throw to him. But he only averages 4.8 yards per reception. This is a guy in college that was good for $1.30 every game.
I'm confused by all that. You know, I was so excited to see the Will Fuller show down the field, Jalen Waddle opposite, you know, Devontae Parker down the field, and it became a dink and dunk show, you know. And you know, I don't know what they, you know, throughout the week, what they work on, what they practice on, what they feel is best for them. You know, sometimes that dink and dunk is kind of like a way of like a counter to the run game. So if you get your 4 or 5 yards on first down, it's like, you know, first and a run for 4 or 5 yards. But when you got guys that are that dynamic and you want to get them going with the rock, if you want to get them, you know, for explosive plays, you're not going to have them running 4 yard routes and coming back to the quarterback because they got their back to the defense. Now they got to regenerate or start all over again and go again. If you want to give them some, give them a quick slant and let him split some defenders. You know, give him a quick out and let him turn up the field and go get some. But to run these little hitch routes, these little stop routes where you got to stop and go again, for guys that are that explosive, that's puzzling to me. I mean, it really is puzzling to me. And I, you know, like I said, you know, I hate the second-guess play calling, but when it comes to different personnel guys. Now, if that was O.J. McDuffie, number 81, I'd run all those stops and hitches and all that stuff all day.
OJ McDuffie, number 81.
Because, you know, I don't have that speed that Waddle has. I don't have that speed that Fuller has. I don't even have the speed that Gesicki actually ran, actually. You know? So give these guys an opportunity to make explosive plays by giving them an opportunity down the field. Now, with that being said, we did get sacked 6 times last week. So quicker.
That's what I was going
to
ask.
Short and sweet is, like, probably the best way to help our line out. But at the same time, though, man, in order to get those guys going, man, give it to them now and let them get going, but not coming back to the quarterback.
Two sacks on 49 pass or dropbacks or just overall passes for Jacoby Brissett in this game. So the sack production wasn't as bad, obviously, but they definitely had plenty of pressure on Jacoby Brissett all day as he dealt with the slop around him and tried to make as much as he could out of it. He finishes 32 of 49 for 215 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, and two sacks with a 74.8 passer rating.
Unbelievable.
Coming up, we're going to hear from Dolphins head coach Brian Flores and his post-game press conference. Again, the final score from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Raiders 31, Dolphins 28. You're listening to the Dolphins' fifth quarter post-game show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
This is Dolphins Football on the Joe, WQAM. Listen to Hawk and Crowder weekday afternoons beginning at 2.
Have an extra couple of minutes? Try Totino's Pizza Rolls in the air fryer for extra crispy deliciousness. Mmm, those crispy, bite-sized, poppable bursts of pizza. Totino's Pizza Rolls, it's Totino's or game over. At the end of the last segment, OJ was talking a little bit about the Dolphins' offensive plan, the passing game at least, as far as vertical passes and getting downfield. And we kind of left off there, Seth, talking about whether or not the offensive line's ability to protect has to do with the, I guess, infrequency of the vertical shots. But in this game, I mean, there were some moments there where Jacoby had some good pockets. They rushed the ball for over 130 yards in this game. So did the offensive line get themselves back into a rhythm here to maybe say in the future we can be a little more aggressive? What did you think today from the offensive line?
Well, it was better than last week. I mean, you know, let's be fair here. It was certainly better than last week. But and that's kind of what I wanted to ask Juice when you were – you know, you were puzzled by all the short throws and the dinks and the dunks. Do you think that some of that was to an opportunity to let this team settle, to let the offensive line settle? I think they did. They definitely made it was intentional as far as running the ball. They made a concerted effort to run the ball. Typically, you think you go on the road and rush for 133 yards, you got a chance to win the ball game. And they did have a chance to win the ball game, so we cannot forget that. But I'm wondering that, Juice, do you think that maybe that was – obviously, you can't get in the head of the coaching staff, but do you think that that was part of the reason why you didn't see them taking as much time to get the ball down the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely the reason. I mean, you look at, you know, the last couple of weeks, man, it's been a decent amount of pressure on quarterbacks. The line hasn't looked the best. But I think they learned something about this offensive line too towards the end. I mean, there are going to be opportunities to get guys down the field. But I also feel like, you know, Big Seth and Travis, that, you know, when it comes to this offensive line, it's going to come down to us settling on five guys that can work well together. And I think they're starting to get there with that group of guys. You know, I think, Travis, you pointed out some things during the game where we saw Austin Jackson having some good push. You know, we need to see a little bit more out of our rookie and Liam.
Tough game for him today.
He had a tough game, you know, and it's growing pains as a young guy in this league, but I think he's going to be able to get there. My thing is, you know, when you look at some of the situations where we had a third and one and fourth and one, we couldn't convert, then they start getting a little nervous about it. So I think that they started off the game just trying to ease our way into it, ease these young guys into it, ease a new, even though he's a QB1 starting quarterback into the game and giving him an opportunity to get going. I think that was the game plan. But I think that what they did a little late for me was get into the long game, the stretch to field game. I think they should have gotten to that a little bit longer because, honestly, the Raiders, let's look at our defense. Javon Holland, you couldn't even see him on the film sometime. He was so deep because they were worried about their vertical game.
You mentioned that a couple times.
Yeah, that wasn't the same situation for the Raiders. You know, it was like, it looked like 10 on 11. We were on defense and their offense. They were up in there.
But they've earned that, right? They've earned that the first 2 weeks.
Exactly right.
That's one of those things, though. I don't know if you watched the Peyton Eli broadcast on ESPN2, but they literally requested, hey, can we get a zoomed out shot of this? Because we want to see the safeties, because you know quarterbacks are always looking at the safeties. And that's like a new thing they're doing now. So the Dolphins have, in this defense, typically played that aggressive up on the line with 10,
right,
and then you're 11th deep. But I mean, I get your point, though, because like you talk about, there was a lot of those balls in that intermediate area the Raiders were going after, and it was successful for them.
Right, and I think that's what we're talking about here is the fact that that's what we do. we throw so short. You know, you can keep all 11 guys in the frame, you know, and that's kind of how we started the game off until we had to loosen them up a little bit. The Raiders are so used to doing it that, like we talked about. And that was the thing too, man. And I'm a big Holland fan, but the balls were up in the air a long time for a guy to be that deep at free safety and not be able to get over there and make some of those plays. And so I think he's going to see some film. And, of course, quarterbacks are great. I mean, Carr's great at holding that safety with his eyes and then throwing it the other way. We got guys chasing. But at the same time, though, man, the way we dink and dunk was completely different compared to how they were trying to hit the home run on us a lot of times.
And these two quarterbacks the Dolphins have faced the last couple of weeks, not to give them excuses or anything, because you got to stop who's in front of you, but Josh Allen and Derek Carr right now are playing really, really good football, so maybe it'd be a welcome sight to see someone else play against this Dolphins defense, because, I mean, Derek Carr in this game finishes with 386 passing yards and a couple of touchdowns on just 43 attempts, so he was getting chunk gains throughout the course of this game, and some of those plays, Seth, they were pretty deflating for this defense, for this team, because we would be in a position to get a stop. But I want to kind of pivot on that point and talk about the energy of the team throughout this game, because, you know, we discussed it at length, and this kind of goes back to OJ's point about maybe some of the vertical game being absent early on. Maybe you play to that 14-0 lead because it's kind of complimentary in terms of your backup quarterbacks in the game. Your offensive line's been a little bit shaky to start the season off. You want to get the running game going. Defense is playing like a house on fire. And then there was a couple of those weird personal foul calls that kind of started to get things going the other direction. The Raiders get off their own the shadow of their own goalpost with one of those 15-yard penalties. All of a sudden, they put together a touchdown drive, and they really controlled the game from that point until like early stages fourth quarter. And then this team got some life back in it, and they didn't quit in the end. So I'm just curious, how did you feel throughout the course of this game with the ebbs and flows in terms of the Dolphins' effort and energy they put out there?
Well, I don't want to question effort. I don't think that would be fair. I mean, they did fight to the bitter end. There were moments, as you said, where we were getting frustrated here in the studio, and I'm sure fans were getting frustrated at home. And I imagine they were getting frustrated as well, the way the game felt like it was being dictated to them for a while. But they came out with their hair on fire. It was very clear that they were embarrassed by last week's performance, and they set out to prove that that's not who the Miami Dolphins are. And I think they did that. And look, the Raiders are a tough team, but this team plays well against the Raiders. They really do show up for the Raiders. It came down to the wire last year as well. You had the Fitz magic, the face mask, Mac Hollins, and they got away with one. This week they didn't, and that goes back to where you have to finish ball games. You have to finish ball games. But as far as the energy, I think they came out. They were ready to play. I think they punched the Raiders in the mouth. Unfortunately, they weren't able to sustain it, and you had to – team doesn't score 30 points a game by accident. You had to expect the Raiders were going to make some plays, and they answered at the end. It just wasn't enough.
Well, I think that, I mean, we can look back at all different kinds of things. You know, the safety started.
That was tough.
Really, things go downhill for us, and it was really bad. 25 unanswered at that point. You know, from 14-0 down 25-14 at some point, the Raiders continued to score on us. Couldn't get a stop in the half. Couldn't get a stop to start the third, the second half. And that's a big deal when we couldn't stop the bleeding right there. You know, tough situation. I mean, obviously we had the personal foul, but didn't move the ball very much. And this, again, I hate to even question things, but sometimes play call or decision-making, even on that play. It might have been the right call, and I know we got to look at the film on that, but I saw a high pass, you know, which is going to make it harder for a receiver to make a play on it. And when you got to get a high pass, it's a little bit late. It's looking for a disastrous play. Instead of something up the field, even Jacoby, quarterbacks, give me some room to work here.
Right.
That I hate questioning play call, but that play call right there was an accident waiting to happen. It was a big accident because that's when they went on that 25-0 run.
What about design of it? Because the way it was set up was kind of strange, just in terms of the timing of it all. Because you have Jalen, who's got a cushion. He's got about a 5-yard cushion from the defensive back, and he just kind of at the snap turns to the side to Jacoby and like, all right, the ball's coming my way here. And then that gave them no margin for error because the DBs didn't have any threat of a vertical ball behind him because the receiver didn't show that. So can you just like maybe take a couple of hard steps upfield, jab, and then jab back down and come back to the quarterback? Can you make that a better play just by the design?
Well, it could be. I think what it is, I don't even think. I think Jalen. I think he's the outlet guy. I think there's other opportunities and other guys we want to go to in that situation. And when all those fails, you want to throw it there. That's probably why it was late.
Okay.
Now, the problem became not that it was late so much, but that it was high. Mm-hmm. So him having to go up and get it and then come down and then the guy's digging on him, he had zero chance. You get that ball to Jalen in his gut right now, he's got a chance to make that one-on-one guy miss. If nothing else, he'll get 5 yards or a few yards out of the end zone. But when it's up high, he didn't even have a chance to come down and even give himself an opportunity to make a guy miss. So the play design might have been okay. But I'd rather bust it up out of there, bust it up out of there. If we had to punt it away. You know, we were already with our backs against the wall there. So I play call, play design. The design might be good. Execution, as we always talk about, was not very good.
Well, I'd love for you to continue that point about Waddle and kind of being the outlet guy, because that's what his numbers say. I mean, mm-hmm, 13 right. targets is a ton of targets. That's a lot, even for, you know, a guy that can kind of be used as an extension of the running game, and he certainly is that at times with all the stuff behind the line of scrimmage. His average depth of target, I think coming into this game, and I don't have the exact number, it was like lower than a couple yards. It's very, very short. And you've got, you know, Devontae Parker's up over 10. Mike Gesicki's up over 10. Like, they have some vertical shots for those guys in this offense, but Waddle hasn't been that. So, Juice, 12 catches, 58 yards. I keep coming back to that. It's strange to me, is it not?
Yeah, it's very strange, man. Especially, like I said, man, a guy with that type of speed and quickness and, you know, and it wasn't even like, you know, and you think about it, I mean, what he ended up with, how many targets did he end up with, Travis?
13 targets and 12.
Man, golly. Yeah, I just don't think that.
His long was 9, by the way.
I don't think he it's hard to use him in that
fashion. It was
fashion
probably on he probably caught it and ran. Yeah, I agree.
It's hard to use him in that fashion, man. Expect him to do much more, man. Because a lot of the ones that he caught were on the ground almost.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like he caught it and was able to run. A lot of them were really like low balls, you know, getting there, getting to a spot and catching it and getting tapped down. So we got to figure out a way to get Jalen, the ball on the run. How can we give him the ball on the run? You know, they've got to design plays to get them on the run. Well, we got tight ends from there. Waller's running, you know, out and ups and wheel routes and, you know, verticals left and right. And we got our fast guys running stops and hitches.
Seth mentioned he's having a tough time dealing with the emotion of this game at the end of it there. And it's kind of starting to set in here a little bit too, because, man, had a chance to get to 2-1 and get out of there with a win and go on to Indianapolis at home next week for Don Shula weekend. Nonetheless, it's 1-2 for the Dolphins now out of the gates. They fall below 500 after that nice start against the Patriots. But I want to come back and talk about some things we can take away positively going forward, some things you guys saw that maybe can continue for this Dolphins season, because it is still very young, 14 games to go still on the schedule, Seth. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. Again, the final score from Las Vegas, Raiders 31, Dolphins 28. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins games always play here in Miami. AM 560, FM 99.9, HD2, The Joe, WQAM.
Dolphins are back in action, and this season you can be back in the stands to experience it all live. Get verified tickets from Ticketmaster, the official marketplace of the National Football League, and you won't miss a single epic moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered, because selling your seats securely with Ticketmaster is as easy as a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. And guys, we almost had a chance to come out away from this game with lots of positives, because we almost had a victory at the end of it, maybe even a tie there at the end, but it doesn't go out that way. Dolphins fall 31-28 to the Las Vegas Raiders. And there was a lot of kind of unique happenstances in this game. And that's how we're going to kick off this next segment, talking about some things we can take away positively going forward, things this Dolphins team can possibly sustain that we saw today. And one of those things comes from OJ McDuffie here with regards to how we covered on that back end, Juice. You saw something that we were pointing out all game long. Dolphins did something different on Darren Waller this time around.
Yeah, you know, remember last year how Roe was on him a lot and did a good job, but Roe just made plays and Carr made some throws that, you know, kind of exposed him. So this game, you can see that we play a lot of man-to-man. We played so much man-to-man, and that's a lot of the reason that Javon Holland was so deep too, because we're playing man-free a lot. So you got a guy playing center field where everybody underneath is playing man-to-man. But we saw that this time they went with Byron Jones on Waller, and he did a pretty good job. I mean, Waller had a decent game, 5 catches for 54 yards on 7 targets, but you also saw some PBUs from him. I wish we can get some interceptions from him every once in a while, you know. And they put Xavier Howard mostly on Ruggs. You know, Ruggs had a nice game. He had a big play of 23 yards, but for the most part, he was under control. So, I mean, it was nice to see that, you know, they've got that game plan. But now remember this now, the amount of man we play, you're going to see a lot of picks, a lot of rubs, and we saw guys trying. You saw the Raiders trying to do that a lot. You know, trying to run some pick plays, natural pick plays. I thought the guy that really killed us more than anybody was Renfro. You know, he seemed to move the chains a lot and working on the inside. So I was working against guys, you know, like that from the inside that we have him guarding. So I don't know, Travis. I mean, I think it's a great game plan, but I think moving forward, they're going to still work these inside guys more than anything. I don't know if we're going to run it. How many tight ends do we have? You know, I haven't really did my scouting report on Indianapolis yet. If we have to worry about putting our best cover guys on their tight end or not, you know, I know they're probably
there's not a whole lot like this guy.
No, there's not. There's only a few in the league like that guy.
Or like this offensive compliment.
Correct.
Fair point.
Correct. But I think that no matter what, we're going to continue doing what we do best, and that's play man-to-man defense. We'll put our best guys on their best guys, or you know, our next guys on some of the guys that can, you know, kind of move the chain kind of guys. But I love the fact that, you know, Byron was up to the challenge. I love the fact that X is up to the challenge. Now we have to figure out a way to keep him under 386 yards next time. Even though it was more of a, again, a bend but not break kind of thing. It wasn't like long touchdown passes or anything like that from Carr. But at the same time, though, man, the chunk plays kept happening and the drives kept continuing. Could not get off the field.
Yeah, I was just so intrigued by that matchup because, like you mentioned, last year it was Rowe on Waller almost exclusively. And we saw Eric Rowe match up with Foster Moreau, tight end number two there for the Raiders, and he had that push-off on the offensive pass interference. And Rowe was also in there rushing the passer, sticking his face in the fan against the running game as well. So they had different ideas. And I'm so intrigued by this, Seth, because Darren Waller came into this game with 26 targets, which led the National Football League, receivers, tight ends, running backs, or otherwise.
I'd keep throwing to him if he was on my squad.
Yeah.
But what did we always hear, and I hate making these references because Brian Flores is not Bill Belichick. He's not a Patriots employee. He hasn't been for a long time. But what was the number one thing the Patriots always did well? They took away your
take
top
away
target.
What you do best, for sure.
And the Raiders, all you know, damn to hell, they were going to throw the ball to Darren Waller in the first two games, regardless of what the opposition did. But here comes Miami, and all of a sudden, he's got, you know, relatively speaking for his usual production, has the clamps put on him. But that's where John Gruden, I thought, really had a hell of a game, because OJ talked about it with Hunter Renfro. The only way you're going to get a favorable matchup on Xavier Howard is to get him inside on the slot. That's not what he does best. He's best on the outside. They got him in there, and it got the Raiders a touchdown on third down. So hats off to John Gruden and that Raiders offense, because they have plenty of weapons, Seth, and they went after those guys, and the Dolphins took away the top guy, but they just didn't have enough guns to come after him.
Well, that's it. That's what I was going to say. Great game plan to take away what somebody else does best. I mean, that just seems like it makes sense. Not everybody has the personnel to do it. Right. Clearly, as Juice just said, the Dolphins came up with a plan to do that. The problem is, what do you give up, right? Any decision you make on the football field, you're leaving something else open. And unfortunately, they had a lot of weapons, and they were able to get the ball to them enough times. And you know, we said this, I said this at Bo Campers when we were having the lunch bunch. I knew the Dolphins were going to have to score at least 24 points. I didn't know it was going to have to be 32 points to win the game. But you just knew playing the Raiders, you weren't going to hold them to two touchdowns. It just wasn't going to happen.
Right. I'm sorry, Travis, real quick. You know, it's tough on outside guys to try to play inside. And they were forced to do that a little bit today. You know, he doesn't usually play inside. Byron doesn't usually play inside. The inside guys are used to playing inside. I remember, like, I always refer to back in my day, Pat could play inside or outside, but Sam wasn't the inside kind of guy. Sam liked to play on the outside, you know? So, I mean, for those guys going there, and I think they did a decent job inside today when they had to. But bottom line is, man-to-man is man-to-man. You know, you're not worried about dropping in the zone, worry about if you got curl to flat or if you got this assignment or that. You know, you get your man, you lock him down, man. And I thought they did a heck of a job. But, I mean, what about those guys on our guys in man-to-man situations or zone situations? I didn't see a lot of separation again today. And that's – I don't know if it's design, you know.
That's what I was going to ask. What is it, Juice? Because, you know, the athletes are there. And you probably aren't going to want to call anybody out. I know that route running was something that you took to heart, and you come from a long line of Nat Moore before you, right? Or actually Duper Clayton and Nat Moore before you, Nat who learned it from Warfield.
Yep.
Route running is something that is critically important to you. I know you joke about sometimes you have to when you don't have the speed or size. You better be a good route runner and have great hands. But I'm wondering, why is it we heard separation from at halftime from Coach Flores of the Patriots game?
Correct.
So separation has been a question. There are guys who can run. This is not a team that has a bunch of slow players in the wideout position. And then, you know, you've got Parker who he's not a burner, but he can run, and he certainly can create separation with his size differential and the athleticism. Why is it not there?
Yeah, and I don't know. You know, I was always in – I'm going to blame Travis for this. Let me tell you why.
Is Travis's fault, the lack of separation?
Because all I read all camp long was Twitter from Travis talking about separation.
The Wingfield jinx.
Wide open and, you know, these guys running routes and, you know, all this stuff. Down the ball down the field. You know, now I watch the games live and I don't see what Travis was talking about. You know what I mean? I don't know what Travis was talking about, Big Seth. So, I think it's going to – I think things are going to change. Let me tell you, I think – what we saw towards the end of that game is what we're going to continue to see, I think, more in the future with our schemes, with our route running, with our guys getting down the field. They see something there, you know. And we got guys now, when guys get one-on-ones and they get these 50-50 balls, we're used to seeing Parker come down with them. We didn't see that today. Fuller had a chance. We didn't see that today. We got to get up there, and these guys have to make those type of – I think Gesicki had an opportunity. 50-50 balls, man, we got to turn them into 80-20s and make plays.
So I agree with that for sure. You have to win on those, especially guys who are paid to win in those moments. There's certain guys that's what they do best, and they absolutely need to win more than they lose on those. And you're playing with your number two quarterback. He needs that help. Any quarterback does. But certainly when you're playing with your number two quarterback, no disrespect, Jacoby. I'm just looking at the depth chart. When you're playing with your number two quarterback, you need to help him out. You need to bail him out. When he is fighting for his life back there and makes a great play to get the ball, to get out of trouble and get the ball there, bring the ball in. What I wanted to ask you, though, is, again, on the separation, you're talking about design, and you think that we're going to see more of what we saw towards the end of the game. How much of that are they playing the clock at that point? How much of that are they taking those chances and going down the field because it's overtime? And are they going to dial it back again and start conservative as we saw in this game?
OJ, I'd love for you to come back on the other side of this break and get to that point. I'm also going to go ahead and punt my big takeaway with the defensive line with how I thought they played today throughout the course of this game. We'll come back and talk about that. We'll hear from head coach Brian Flores. Again, the final score from Las Vegas, Raiders 31, Dolphins 28 in overtime. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is Miami Dolphins football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
You're listening to the Dolphins on the Joe, WQAM, with Joe Rose and Zach Kranz, weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
We got plenty of questions among the three of us here. Seth Levitt, OJ McDuffie with Travis Wingfield on the Miami Dolphins Fifth Quarter Postgame Show. We've got plenty of questions rolling in on Twitter as well. The hashtag FinsPostgame to ask us some questions we can get to here on the show. But why don't we go ahead, guys, and go to the man that has the answers and Brian Flores, who addressed the media after the game. Here's Brian Flores at the podium postgame.
Can you share any of what your message to the team was after a game like this?
I mean, I thought they fought hard. They gave great effort. I know they're disappointed, but they fought, and we just got to, we got to get back to work, prepare the way they've been preparing, and, make a couple more plays, and we'll feel a lot better after some games.
What kind of rhythm, how was Jacoby able to find a rhythm there
in the second half? I mean, there was definitely a lull there in the middle of the game, second and third quarter. Couldn't get much going offensively. And then it looked like he got a lot more comfortable as the game went on, stepping up in the pocket, made some big throws there at the end, some big plays at the end to bring us back and send the game into overtime. But ultimately, it just wasn't enough. We got to play better across the board, offensively, defensively, and in the kicking game. But these guys is a resilient group. They'll get back to work and, do everything they can and make the corrections so that we can play a little bit better.
Along those lines, those unnecessary roughing penalties in second and third quarter, did that kind of take the wind out of you guys' sails?
Anytime you get, penalties like that, extend drives, move the ball. I think some of those were, defensively in some situations where we would have had them in, I would say, second down, which did lead to, first downs and field position. And it's a good offense like the Raiders, and you don't want to give them extra yards. So, those hurt us for sure. And, one or two plays, I mean, that's what it really boiled down to today. And, we've got to be better in that area.
How would you do the safety there in the first half? Was Jalen the first read?
I got to go back and look at it. We didn't execute it well. Obviously, we got to do a better job But I, you know, I need to go back and look at that. You know, it was, you know, a bad play for us. Kind of, we had some momentum going. I kind of, you know, shifted the game a little bit, and again, you know, one or two plays in the game, we may have a different outcome, and we got to play better.
What was your view of that 4th and 20 play that Brissett converted to Gesicki, for 27 yards?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great play. I mean, I think there was some rush on there. I think the ends got up the field. Jacoby was able to step up and slide to his left, right of the defense, and they made, you know, great catch, great throw, great catch to Mike there on the sideline.
How did you feel about some of the physicality and aggressiveness that it seemed to me was a point of emphasis for your club in this game?
You know, I think, you know, we want to play physical. We want to be aggressive. We want to play fast. I think that's something we talk about. I think we got that today. You know, we just didn't get the execution we needed, or enough of the execution we needed to win the game. But, you know, credit to the Raiders. You know, just talking to John afterwards, they got a good team. They're doing a lot of good things. And, you know, it's a hard place to play with the noise and the environment here, which was, you know, a great environment. So, but that's what it is in the National Football League, and we, you know, we've got to do a better job of, you know, of executing.
What factors, we haven't seen you since Tua went on IR, what factors contributed to this?
You know, we just felt like it would take that long. And at the end of the day, that's kind of how we felt. And look, nothing's more important than the health of the player. And we just felt like that was the best decision for him and for our team.
Brian, do you feel like you found something to work with on offense in the last stretch there, or is...
Every game's different. You know, we'll make the corrections from today. You know, some things that, you know, we did well, we'll try to continue to do them. Things that, you know, didn't go so well, we'll try to correct them. But I think, you know, we got some things going at the end, but it wasn't enough. And, you know, we got to be better.
A comeback like this, the way you were so competitive at the end, might, I don't know, build the teammates' faith in Jacoby and what he can do for this team over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think they you know, they believe in each other. You know, these guys, they believe in each other. I mean, I think we know how we work. I mean, I think we're always going to fight and give great effort. We just got to have better execution. But yeah, there's no moral victories. I think, you know, those guys are disappointed in there. We want to win, and that's our goal every week. And you know, we didn't get it done today. We didn't execute well enough. And, you know, we'll go back, make some corrections, and you know, get back out there next week.
First glance, what seemed better about the offensive line's performance?
I mean, the protection was better. I thought we ran the ball, you know, effectively in you know, early in the game, and, you know, at times, you know, throughout the game. So that's something hopefully we can build on. You always want to run it. But, you know, there were also some instances where we gave up some pass rush, and they got more than two, but they got a good pass rush over there. And, you know, the guys fought to protect Jacoby. We were able to step up and make some plays. But, again, not enough.
Brian, it seemed like Jacoby, or at least the scheme, more willing to push the ball downfield there late in the game. Was that part of the plan? Was that his decision-making, or was it something that they were giving you at the end?
Yeah, I think, you know, we needed chunk yardage, and he pushed it. I mean, we thought we had some opportunities, you know, in other parts of the game. You know, and we didn't execute, and later in the game, there were some instances where we did, and but it wasn't enough. And we gotta do a better job.
Would you have wanted to be more aggressive with the offensive approach earlier in those first three quarters before that?
I mean, look, hindsight's 20/20. I think we got off to a good start. We didn't maintain that. But good. Look, let's give credit to the Raiders. They did some nice things. They made some adjustments, really, in all three phases. They got good players, good coaches. At the end of the day, you know, they pulled out the win.
Were you asked about the safety? I'm sorry, I got here late.
I was. I mean, we just didn't execute. You know, I mean, that's really, at the end of the day, Dave, that's we just didn't execute. You know, I think there's going to be, you know, as we watch the film, several plays we wish we had back. And look, a game like this, it's one or two plays either way. You know, they make one or two plays and it doesn't go to overtime. We make one or two plays. You know, it's you know, that's the National Football League. You know, we've got to do a better job. You know, it's a young team. I mean, we got to continue to learn from, you know, every experience out on the field. But ultimately, at the end of the day, look, this starts with me. Our execution starts with me. So I got to do a better job of getting us to play better, execute better, and make the, you know, two, three, four, five plays that'll be the difference in the game. Thanks, guys.
So there you have head coach Brian Flores after a defeat in Las Vegas. Dolphins fall 31-28 to the Raiders. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much, much more. Only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Again, the final score from Las Vegas, Raiders 31, Dolphins 28 in overtime. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.